Hi, welcome to today's webinar with Luis Angel Dios, and the title of today's webinar is Your Children, Do You Know What to Do When They're Feeling Negative Emotions? Now, that's some title, and we've been receiving an awful lot of questions. Parenting is something that's on a lot of people's minds, and learning how to deal with emotions is probably one of the most important topics. And just want to remind you that this is a free webinar. It is 90 minutes long, and your host will be Luis Angel Dios. I will introduce him in a minute. Luis is the founder of the Cellular Memory Release Process. It's called CMR for short. And at his company this year, he's declared this the year of the relationship. And we will be doing a webinar, free webinar every month on some aspect of healing relationships and making relationships better. This is the third event of the year. The first webinar was about relationships in general, and the second one was on intimate relationships. We had that around Valentine's Day. And today it is on parenting with small children, with young children. Today's webinar is for people who deal with young children and preteens. Many of you have asked questions about adult children and adolescents. We will be talking about that on our next call in May, but this is primarily dealing with topics to do with preteens and younger children. We'll be talking mainly from a parent's perspective. However, a lot of you are teachers or people in child care professions or counselors. This information will equally be useful to you as well. And it's basically going to give you an idea of how to improve the relationship with younger children when they get angry, in particular anger, or also if they do not know how to express their emotions clearly, cleanly, and usefully. So we'll be dealing with all of that that sort of stuff. Hopefully, the aim by the end of this conference is to give you some information on how to generate respect with your children, how to educate them more effectively on how to use their emotions, how to help them feel more confident. How to help you feel more confident in dealing with their anger, and giving your children a space to define their feelings, communicate better with people, and also how to generate trust between the two of you, trust, respect, and reciprocity in your relationship. Luis will be going as deep as he can on the subject in 90 minutes' time, and he'll also be giving you some practical exercises. On every single one of these free conferences, we give you some good practical tools, some tips, and also an exercise for you to take away. So you'll be on today's call, amongst the kind of the theory and background of things, you'll also be getting 7 top tips for parents and also a great exercise to see whether or not you're empowering or disempowering your children in their relationships. And as I say, if you're interested in the topic of older children, teens, and adult children, we're going to be talking about that on May 10th. And I'll tell you more about that later in the broadcast. So without any further ado, I want to introduce Luis Angel Dios. As I said, he is the founder of Cellular Memory Release Process and also Pain Body Release Process. He's the founder of the Body Mind Center in Nevada City in California. And he's also author of the book Memory in the Cells, How to Change Behavioral Patterns and Release the Pain Body, which is an international number one bestseller, and he's one of my favorite people on the planet. So without any further ado, here's Luis. Good evening,
Thank you. Good morning,
good afternoon, I should say, Luis. How are you?
Very good. Very glad to be here. Connection, this is what happens with our children, you know. That's why we have problems, you know. There is this connection in the line, and we are talking, and the other doesn't hear, and vice versa. So that you know, you guys, this was all planned to show you an example of what the relationship with our kids can be.
Yeah, clever boy.
And you know, I remember my childhood and how disconnected I felt from my parents, especially from my mother. Due to the lack of trust. Remember that we covered the 4 pillars of relationship. Trust is the most important one. And sometimes we do things in our relationship with our partners in the family setting that the kids are watching us, and they learn more from what they witness than for our lectures or what we teach them. And I remember feeling this separation and disconnection from my mother because of not trusting her. I learned a lot from that. It was very painful for me. I was a depressed child until I was an adult, 20, 21 years old. I suffered a lot of depression. And one of my main concerns was thinking, when I have kids, do I want to do this? How can I make this different? And well, I have three kids now. They're all adults now, young adults, and I feel so proud, you know, of the beautiful relationship that we have, and that it got improved as I was growing myself. I was empowering myself. I was healing myself. It was totally proportional, my growth, my inner healing, with the health and the sanity that I was able to bring into my family and the relationship with my children. And I can see the results. And because of that, I'm here. I'm trying to share my experience. That's what I do with my clients in their private sessions and when I teach workshops, to share what works, at least what worked for me. I know that there is no universal truth, but there are many things that we do without knowing that hurt our relationships. You know, the famous thing like watering the plants, taking care of them, and one day I realized that there was gasoline in the water, you know. so it was killing my plants without knowing, with the best of the intentions. And I say that most of the things we do are with the best of the intentions. And we later on in time, we realize, wow, this relationship is suffering. And I don't know why. Mm-hmm. So this is my main motivation, pretty much, to be here. And to see how much suffering we can save if we stop doing the things we do that hurt our relationships.
Mm. I think it's such an important topic, Luis, because I, you know, speaking when you speak about your relationship as a child, I can so relate, and I think a lot of other people can too. You know, in my household, there was nothing but screaming and yelling all the time, and nobody ever knew what to do with their anger. Nobody ever knew what to do with it. It was very painful for everyone. And as children, or at least speaking for myself, I felt very much alone, because if my parents didn't know what to do with their anger, how did I know what to do with my emotions? So that's, and it took me a long time to learn those things. And then now I'm a grandmother, and bringing, you know, I had to learn a lot of stuff in being a parent, and I didn't know it when I was a new parent. And now that my daughter is an adult, I think finally we've both learned how to express anger in healthy ways and how to communicate and really listen. And boy, I'm so glad that you're going to be teaching this class tonight for all of those reasons. Personally, I really, I really am looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, for the purpose of people who may not have been on the past calls, did you already go over the? Because I was off the call for a couple of minutes there. Did we talk about the tree of relationships yet, or
I was waiting for
great.
You.
Great. So one thing that we're going to be talking about in all of these classes, and also on your fundamentals class that you're offering later this month, is the concept of the tree of relationships and also the four pillars of relationships. So just for a really quick review, I know some people have heard this already, but just a quick review to bring us into the space so we know where we're going to be going with this topic. What do you mean by the tree of relationships?
Well, our relationships are like a tree that can bear fruits that have quality and beauty, or it can be a tree that is very, very sick or unhealthy with no fruits or low quality fruits. And pretty much the fruits are our relationships. So we might enjoy them or we might suffer them. And but the key of the health of any tree is in the roots. So whatever we have deep inside of us is going to affect our life out there. So if we are holding anger, if we're holding sadness or grief or shame or guilt, those things really are going to intoxicate the roots and it's going to affect the fruits. So pretty much when we talk about the tree of relationship, we are talking about how important it is what we are storing in our own system, information in the cellular memory, that need to be released in order to heal the roots and to have better fruits.
Wonderful. So throughout all of the courses, all of the webinars and also the courses that you're offering, we're really talking about healing those roots and the fruits take care of themselves pretty much is what I'm hearing from you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's what it is all about, having tools, daily tools that last for life, for the rest of our life. We're going to be able to use them, that help us to play this dance of emotional healing and mental balance. Both two things go together, and we need to address them both at the same time.
Wonderful. So, the other paradigm, I guess, or the model that you use, and this will be coming back to again and again and again, are what you call the four pillars of relationships. Can you remind us of what those are before we start talking about kids and anger?
Yeah, I mentioned before trust. Trust is what builds relationships. If there is love, trust makes that love grows and expands. If there is no trust, love states but shrinks. That means I can love a person like, you know, I did love my mother, but I didn't trust her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we do that. We live with people. We sleep on the same bed. We don't trust them, but we love them. But the relationship is not enjoyable. There is no closeness. There is no intimacy. There is no honesty. That is another important pillar in our relationships. There is no respect.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no equality. Those are the main things that keep a relationship healthy. And what is a healthy relationship? It's a relationship where you can get close and feel safe.
So the four pillars are trust, honesty, respect, and equality for the purpose of getting close and feeling safe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is what we want in the relationship with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Babies, toddlers, are masters of connection. For them, the most important thing is connection, love and affection, and food, of course. But pretty much they don't care if you are wealthy, if you are healthy, if you are beautiful or not. They just love you, and that's it. So since that is the way we come, all the babies on the planet, we come experts, masters in love and connection and intimacy. What do we do to create this connection as they grow up? It's like they learn to get disconnected through the experiences in the family and also through education. So we, as you mentioned before, we are afraid of emotions. We get confused because emotions. Why? Because we don't have emotional education. Collectively, culturally, we are illiterate emotionally. Therefore, we got disconnected. We also being babies. I was a toddler. I was a master of connection and love. And then 10 years later, I was totally alienated, and I was an outcast. Yeah. So how could that happen? Yeah.
So I think we're going to talk about how that happens,
mm-hmm.
and also what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that is on most people's minds when they're talking, especially about kids in general, is the emotion of anger. Well, two things. One is kids expressing anger, and the other is kids not being able to express emotion at all. But let's look at anger first. Why do people get angry, or why do kids get angry? You know, what's going on, and what purpose does it serve?
Well, in my observation, we get angry when we cannot set boundaries, or someone gets our boundaries, when we cannot get what we want, when things don't go our way. Anger is a way to stop, to say, okay, this is the line. You're not going to cross this. I don't want you to keep doing this. So basically, when very important values, what we call human values, and we covered this in past conferences, are not being respected, like, let's say, freedom. If you take my freedom away, probably I'm going to get angry.
Mm-hmm.
If I am enjoying a good time reading my favorite book under a tree, and you come next to me with a chainsaw, I'm probably going to get angry because you are taking away my peace and harmony. Each time a very important value for us is not respected, like, let's say, honesty, that is very important for all of us. If you realize a person is not being honest with you, you're probably going to get angry. So we are human beings. We have human values. And those things, when are not being respected, we react usually with anger.
Hmm.
Now, kids are small human beings. They have also values like we do. They also value their space, their autonomy, their play, their joy, their privacy. We think that because they are small human beings, they don't deserve or they don't have those rights, especially in our collective culture. Small kids are things, yeah, that we had to form and educate. And they don't have to make much noise. They have to do things in the way we tell them to do. And that goes against human values. Therefore, they start reacting. They start reacting more and more and more and more. So that's one of the reasons why we get angry, when our human values are not being exercised or respected or met. Mm-hmm. Another thing that makes us angry is imitation. I mean, if I live in a household where there is a lot of anger going on, probably to be part of the tribe, I also get angry. And when I see them getting so angry and they get each other's attention, I think that is the way to get people's attention. You're going to hear me when I get angry. The more angry I get, the more you're going to hear me. And so there is habit, there is imitation. And also there is what I mentioned before, the need to exercise your human values.
Mm. Yeah, and it's ironic that we grow up thinking that, you know, the more loudly I express my anger, the more people will hear me. And usually it's the opposite. the less people hear us. The thing that I'm sure a lot of parents who are listening are thinking, okay, well, that sounds good in theory, but, okay, you've got a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old or, you know, a young kid who's throwing, as they would say in Britain, throwing a strop, you know, in the middle of a department store, or having a fit or throwing a tantrum. What is the thing there? Because, like, when parents, they see this display of anger, and frequently they just don't know what to do. They don't know what's happening, and it's usually met with more anger.
Yeah.
And so what's going on there, and what can parents do to understand what's going on better?
Well, when the child is throwing a tantrum, probably is already too late to do anything besides allowing them to do that and telling them, okay, you're angry, great, be angry. I'm angry too sometimes, and when I'm angry, I need to express the anger. But here, you know, there is a bunch of people, and, you know, hurry up, get angry as soon as you can and get over it. That's as much as you can do in a supermarket, yeah? It's very important that you validate the feelings of the children in order for them not to lose connection with themselves, because through feelings, I'm telling you my values are not being met. I have needs here, and I want you to hear. So why I say it is too late? Yes, because there is work that you need to do when the child is not angry.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many things. First, do your own work. Do your own transformation of the anger in your body, because if you're holding anger in your body, the child feels it. Children are very sensitive. And many times, especially toddlers, they throw tantrums, and it's a way to be angry for you, that is the mother. So mom is suppressing, therefore I get angry. We are very connected, especially the mother and the child. So that happens a lot. And sometimes it's other emotions that the mother has. Maybe she has sadness or grief or fear. The child is going to show them for them. Sometimes they're manifesting the anger in the family. So what's going on in that family? Maybe the family needs family counseling. Maybe everybody needs to do some healing work.
Mm-hmm.
The child is resonating with what's going on around them because they are very, very, very sensitive. It's like a little sponge that is absorbing everything. And they just express, because authenticity, spontaneity is one of our main features when we are kids, and honesty. So this is what I'm feeling. Here I go. Yeah?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
They intensify it, and in 5 minutes they are done with that.
Mm. So what happens when we kind of, and this happens a lot, and it's happened to all of us as adults when we were children, and I'm sure as adults a lot of us have done this to our children. What happens when we might kind of guilt our children about getting angry, you know, like don't get so angry, why, you know, or punishing them for expressing anger?
Yeah.
What happens? What's the long-term impact of that?
Well, one of the things that happens is that you are not validating the child. You are creating, on top of the pain that he's already feeling, you are creating more pain, like shame and guilt trips. The child stops trusting you as someone that can hold the space, can respect what's going on with me or hear what's going on to me. It starts creating slowly distance and disconnection and separation from the adult. It could be the mother, the father, it could be the teacher, yeah, or the grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So each time you use the old ways, stuff you learn from your fathers, from your parents, and when you were a child, those things that they were so annoying and so hurtful for you, and you use them with your kids, you're going to get the same result you got with your parents. Pretty much you start duplicating as a template the relationship with your kids. If you want a different relationship, you need to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things to do, and this is one of the tips that I want parents and teachers to exercise, is to listen, but not in the moment the child is angry. As I say, at that moment it's too late. There are some things that we can do. I want to discuss later. It's before. So in your daily day, just spend time with the kid. Just say to yourself, I'm going to spend 10 minutes with my child just being with them, just listening, not telling them what they have to do, no preaching, not telling them that the drawing that they are doing should be different or they can use different colors, just being. Shut up your mouth and be, because the child needs to be heard and see. So being with, that's empathy. Is not being and playing, is not being and running and dancing or watching TV together, is just being as two human beings. And if you do that, you're going to prevent a lot of anger in the future. Because one of the reasons children get angry is because they don't feel heard or seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way to get your attention. They know, I get angry and my mom pays attention to me, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, very simple, you know.
You know, and what I like about that, Luis, very often parents think that they need to be parenting all the time. And
yeah.
What parenting means is disciplining, and I don't mean necessarily punishing and shouting, but continually correcting and, you
yeah.
know, don't do that. Oh, that's good. That's not good. That's good. That's good. Even when we're saying very good all the time, in some strange way, we're also, that may sound very encouraging, but it's kind of like, we're all, you know, as children, we're continually being marked,
yeah.
you know, and graded as
yeah.
to whether our behavior is good or not. Now, we don't do that to each other as adults, but it's a really strange thing that we imagine that we can do that to our children and not have it create some kind of impact on them. So I love that. So spending time with children, not necessarily for playing, not for parenting, not for teaching, just to sit and listen. Just
yeah,
to let, just
being,
to speak with
being
them.
With, being with.
Being with.
There is a time for teaching. There is a time for education, but also a time for being. That, you know, we all appreciate that. If you are able to do that with your intimate relationship with your spouse, I mean, it's very nourishing. Yeah, just being with. If you practice that, you will notice that the anger of the child goes down big time.
Hmm. Hmm. So I said at the top of the call that you were going to give 7 tips for parents, and that was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Being with, just making 10 minutes a day to be with, for no other reason than to be with,
mm-hmm.
and to listen.
Yep.
So what's another one that we can look at?
Well, validating their feelings, even though you might not like them, you might not be in agreement. You know, what I mentioned before, I see that you are very angry, and that's fine. You can be angry. Human beings get angry. I also get angry, and when I get angry, I want to feel it. So get a towel, twist that towel, you know, here there is newspaper, break it, you know, whatever you do yourself. When you deal with your own anger. Now, if you are totally disconnected from your feelings and you are a master of suppression, like most of people are in our culture, well, how can you teach or educate your child to do anything with anger besides suppressing it?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a master of suppression, you're going to expect your child to suppress their anger. And you may be successful, but that's the worst thing you can do to empower the child and help him become an adult that is self-confident, that is connected with himself and has a healthy emotional life. The suppression of negative emotions makes you sick, creates a lot of dysfunctions, and the expression of negative emotions to other people makes relationships sick and create dysfunction in the relationship. So we had to learn a way to be with negative emotions that doesn't hurt myself or doesn't hurt relationships, and is the process that we teach in CMR. It's one of the fundamentals of the process that we call pain body release. So how
mm-hmm.
do I release the sticky negative emotions that are in my body without hurting myself or hurting others. Mm-hmm. That's why I say you cannot preach what you are not doing. How can you help your children get educated in dealing with their emotions when you are not doing it yourself? Mm-hmm. So.
Well, when you're talking about this, Louise, I'm thinking of a lot of people who, without pointing any fingers to anyone in particular, there's a television show where basically if children are experiencing emotions, they're separated. They're put in another room and kind of allowed to play their emotions out on their own. What do you think about that? Is that validating emotions or is that negating it? Or, you know, like where like a child is angry, okay, you go sit over there and be angry and you can't be near me when you're angry. That kind of thing.
I haven't seen that program, so I don't know how they do it. I think that part of the emotional learning education is to help the child recognize that anger is happening in his body and there is a reason for that to happen. Slowly, as they grow up, you will teach them that there are human needs and there are human values that are very important, and that when we get angry is because we are not meeting those needs. But when you have a child or a toddler that is too young to understand anything like that, pretty much you tell them, this happens to human beings. I also get angry. And it is important that you feel it. And when I feel angry, this is what I do. You can help the young child to identify the angry self with a name. Like, you know, my angry self is called Tornado, and your angry self is called Iceberg, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And what was that? An hour later or 2 hours later, what was that when you were so angry? What name would you put to that part of you that gets so angry? So the child finds a name to it, and, mm-hmm. and then you can talk about. So, what Tornado is like? What is he doing? How he behaves? So you talk about the state. You talk about emotions. It becomes an easy thing that is flowing. It's not that you are being excluded from the family, you are a bad person, it's wrong what's going on with you, because what you're doing that is the invalidation of feelings. And when you invalidate a feeling, the child that is very young, what they believe is there is something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm,
and feeling
mm-hmm.
this, I'm not supposed to do this, this is not appropriate. There is something wrong with me. What's wrong with me? Yeah?
Mm,
and there is
start
creating the negative self-image with the I am stupid, I am a loser, I am a failure, all those things that we carry with us for life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that I'm not, and I think the thing that really, the bottom line message that we get is that I'm not lovable when I'm angry.
Yeah.
That I don't deserve love when I'm angry, when we receive those messages.
Well, it's even more than that. I'm not lovable mm-hmm. when I'm being honest.
Yes, yes.
I'm not lovable when I'm being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So when I am myself, I'm not lovable. I had to pretend to be different. And there
mm-hmm.
is when we start acting and pretending to be who we are not. And this
mm-hmm.
is a collective problem that we have, that people are disconnected from who they are, and they are pretending to be different, and that creates a lot of pain, because anything that is not true creates pain. So when you are living a lie, you're going to be suffering in different ways, with anxiety, with worry, with panic attacks, with disease, headaches, you name it. Your body is going to somatize the disconnection from truth in many, many ways. So the validation of feelings and being honest with the child, telling the child, you know, this is human. This happens. This happens to me. It happens to your mother. It happens to everybody. We get angry, and that's fine. Now, how do we deal with this in a way that you don't hurt yourself and you don't hurt others? So let's talk about this. And as I say, you talk about it, but no, in the midst of it. You had to be able to address the issue when the child is in a different mood, because when the child is releasing that charge, and God bless him to do that, that we adults don't do, they are cleaning themselves. They are cleaning up. They are putting stuff out. So in that moment, you only just hold the space, and you let them know that you are there. And then the education comes later.
Mm. So that's the whole process of, or kind of a summary of the process of validation. So we talked about spending time just being with. Then the second tip was to validate the emotion and the feeling.
And to be honest and respect them. That's another.
So that's the third one, to be honest and to be respectful.
Yeah, be honest. Right. You know, sometimes, I mean, we are human beings. Sometimes we are confused. Sometimes we don't know what to do with mm-hmm. life. Sometimes we have emotions. We don't know what we're feeling. We don't have to play Superman with our kids. We can mm-hmm. be vulnerable. We can let them know that what is happening hurts us.
Mm-hmm.
What they are doing or saying, I feel hurt. It's mm-hmm. totally, we have all the right to be human beings with another human being. So in that way, even though we still hold the role of a father and still we do the parenting, we are also human beings. We are equal. He's smaller than you in size, but we are equal.
Mm. So first is being with. Second is validating feeling. Third is being honest and respectful. What's a fourth tip that you can give people listening tonight?
Well, there is a very important piece that is gonna reduce the amount of irritability, frustration, and anger in your child. That is touching them, holding mm-hmm. them, caressing them, just because.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do this at least once a day, just sit them on your lap and touch them. You don't have to say much. It's like the other exercise of being with them, yeah? Now you hold them and you let them know that you love them, not so much with words, because we do this all the time, it doesn't work much. Let them know that you really have this deep affection and connection, and you caress them, you hold them, and you give them physical connection. That is very, very healing. You know, there are many studies about how people recover or die, or babies cannot recover or die when they don't receive enough
yes.
physical touch.
Mm.
So if you spend time with your kid, just being with them, and you touch them more, you will notice that the amount of anger reduces, you know, greatly.
Mm. I remember when I was a child, I have one memory of my grandmother, one of my grandmothers, and it's of being maybe about four or five years old and sitting in her lap in the rocking chair. And that's my whole memory, you know. And I know there were lots of other things because she lived until I was 18, but that's the one that stays in my mind.
Yeah.
And about 2 weeks ago, I was out with my for Mother's Day here in Britain with my daughter and her family, and my grandson, who is now going to be 5 this month, he did the same thing. We finished eating dinner in the restaurant. He says, "I want to sit in your lap," and that's all he wanted, to just sit and be held. And you don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to play. And it's astonishing, and I think we underestimate the power of that, and how much negativity can be dealt with simply
yeah.
by keeping that connection.
Yes.
So that's a really great reminder. So physical contact is the fourth one. We've got 3 more. I don't know if we're going to say them all before we take a short break, but let's give one more. What's one more tip that you can give?
Well, get rid of the TV. I'm sorry. No, people don't like to hear this, because adults, we are also addicted to the TV, but
yeah, I don't have one anymore.
It's not a good presence in the family.
Yeah.
You know, just think for a moment in what way all those fast, noisy images, and plus the violence, plus the dramas that people had, children had to witness in front of a TV, in what way that impacts the young brain. So many times, in the same way a baby or a toddler is moving the energy of the family, many times they are moving the energy that they got through sometimes a cartoon. Let's be honest, the cartoons nowadays are not the cartoons when I was a child or you were a child. I mean, the intensity, the color, the movement, the speed, the sounds that nowadays cartoons have, I mean, it has to create an impact in these children. So if you want more peace and harmony in your house, get rid of the TV. You know, the TV is that roommate that always creates trouble.
Well, and also it doesn't open the doorway for communicating. It's completely one direction. You're being pumped in, and there's nothing. As you say, if children or adults, for that fact, are acting out as a result of watching TV, you know, it's because it's such a one-way relationship. The television is just going in. Something has to come out. I mean, since I haven't watched TV, I notice that my stress levels have gone way, way down. You know, and I talk about this quite a lot when I'm in public. So imagine what it's doing to our kids. Those emotions have to go somewhere. You know, the anxieties and everything that is coming in, it has to go somewhere. So
yeah.
And the insecurities as well that come from the images they're seeing. So yeah, it's a tough message for parents to hear, especially when the TV becomes a bit of a babysitter. But I think it's an important one. I think it's an important one. Well, we've got two more tips, and I know that you also have an exercise, an actual exercise you're going to take people through to help them kind of evaluate where they're empowering or disempowering their children. But I just want to take a couple of minutes before we do that. Oh, and also for people who just tuned in, we will be taking your questions in about 15 minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of them already.
Write them as we go so we can
select
them.
Yep. So, I mean, I have a bunch of them already, but if you haven't submitted your question and you're listening via webcast, please write it in the box and we'll look through them. And if we don't get to all of them, then hopefully Luis will address them in a future class. If you're asking questions about teens or adult children, go ahead and put them in, but we won't address those today. We'll address them in next month's webinar in May. But do write them if you have them. But for right now, I want to take a short break to
Tell
you.
Before you go there, Lynn.
Okay, before I go there,
I'd like to wrap up what we have said so far. And this is, as you can say, if you want more harmony and more sanity in your household and you have a child that is growing emotionally healthy and you want to support them, you will have to do some work yourself. You will have to address your disconnection with yourself, with your own values, with your own feelings. How do you deal with that yourself? That means you will have to get in touch with part of yourself that have been wounded or traumatized, situations that taught you things and that you are repeating those patterns and they just create pain for you or for others. So for a child to receive and grow in that environment of well-being that we all want for them, we need to do the work. And I think this is the core message that we want to send today.
And on the heels of that, about Luis saying that we need to do the work, Luis is actually working with people this month on a more intense class, not just a free webinar, but a 9-week course that he has called CMR Fundamentals of Relationships. And that's where you do the inner work that he's talking about. It is a course specifically designed. It's a 9-week course, and it's specifically designed to help you learn what that inner work is. It's about helping you learn emotional alignment, mental alignment, and really how to heal the roots of that tree we were talking about, the roots of the tree of relationships, something that impacts every relationship you have in your life. And it's a very comprehensive course that helps you learn how to read your own messages in your body, how to release emotions in your own body and express them in a healthy way, and how to grieve for lost parts of yourself and learn how to reintegrate. A lot of people on the call today have been asking about the inner child and dealing with your own childhood traumas.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to know that those are impacting your relationships with your children or, you know, virtually any relationship you have. But today we're talking about parents and children, but they do impact any relationship you have. I myself know for a fact that trauma and grief affected me quite a lot, and I probably poisoned the first several years of my relationship with my daughter because of my lack of awareness, emotional awareness as what an education, as Luis is talking about, you know, and thank God that, you know, I've grown beyond that. For those of you who are looking for you can hear Luis how compassionate and focused he is on this topic and how much experience he has in this topic. For those of you who are looking for a course that can give you support and healing in that direction so that you can improve your relationships, whether it's personal or professional relationships or parental and, you know, child relationships or intimate relationships, CMR Fundamentals of Relationships. Luis is also going to give away a 30-minute consultation, private one-to-one consultation, to work, to kind of give you a head start and work with you independently. Now, if you're listening by a telephone, if you go to cellularmemory.org, you will see on the home page a big button with a butterfly, like a transformation butterfly, that says CMR Fundamentals. Really focusing on connection and all of those beautiful pillars that Luis is talking about respect, honesty, building greater connection, greater intimacy, and really clearing out all the toxic patterns that we may have built up. And trust us, you know, if you clean the roots, if you make those roots strong, then the fruits, as Luis says, are healthy. Luis, what would you like to add to that? And then we're going to get back to the other things we're talking about, the other tips and the exercises you're going to give to everybody. But what would you like to add to that about the course?
Well, working on putting together the course it's the first time I'm going to be teaching it online in English. I've been teaching it in Spanish. But putting together the guidelines and the program that Lynn asked me, I realize how juicy it is and how powerful will be for those of you that go through it. You're going to see the results happening before your eyes and for the rest of your life. What is there is all practical information to apply, you know, what you saw today in 1 hour that we are together, how many simple things we can do that change things radically. Mm-hmm. And so it's about emotional education. And, mm-hmm. and if we want emotionally healthy children, we need to do the work ourselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Marielle is saying she's already signed up and says, can she get the ebook? Yes, sure, Marielle. Send a note to info@cellularmemory.org and remind us that you're already registered. And I'm sure that Luis's assistant will send that off to you. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, again, if you're listening by webcast, click the button to find out more information about the course. And if you're not, go to cellularmemory.org. And look on the homepage, look for the big butterfly that says CMR Fundamentals. Make sure you look at the online version because Luis does teach it live, but a lot of us don't live in Northern California like I don't. So look at the online version and register for the one that's starting on April 21st. Great, I'm looking forward to it. So let's get back to, can we get back to the, we had two more tips, I think, two or three. Two more tips. Yeah, and an exercise. So we said, so it's three tips, the five tips so far, because we're doing seven tips so far, were spending time with, being with your children, validating their emotions was number two. Number three was practicing honesty and respect, developing honesty and respect. Number four was physical contact. And number five was get rid of the television. So what's number six?
Well, number six has to be with another environment that affects our kids very much. That is the education system. That is an education system that is based on academic progress and intellectual abilities. We are educating our children from the waist up, like Sir Ken Robinson used to say, and hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, and and we are not just educating them their mind. We are pretty much educating them to use one hand, whichever hand is the one they write with, and a part of their brain, that is the left brain. So it's a very partial, fragmented education system that is disconnecting our kids from their bodies. So we need, as parents, knowing this, unless you find a school that includes movement in the daily activities, and I'm not talking just sports, in movements for the fun of it, playful movements. It could be acting, it could be dancing, anything that kids do it with joy and fun, because sometimes sports bring that element of competition or even competing with yourself, but the movement just for fun, and that is going to make a big impact in the way children feel in their own bodies, and of course it's going to help them to deal with their emotions. So movement is very important. Find a way to bring it in their daily schedule, and see what happens. The younger, the better, you know. You notice what happens when you put music, what a toddler does. You know, they just start moving slowly.
Start moving, yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And then when they are 5, 6 years old, we sit them at a chair and we give them a pen and we ask them to spend hours writing. Of course, that's going to create some sort of frustration inside because it goes against our nature. We are not designed to be walking heads. We are designed to use our whole body that it has an incredible intelligence that runs through it. And when we use body-mind integration activities, we are more sane, more healthy, more complete human beings.
So the movement itself can unblock a lot of emotions, is what you're saying. Is that just by moving? So a lot
of, this thing about ADD and ADHD.
Yeah.
That I understand that some kids suffer this problem. Many kids that are being diagnosed with that is just kids that need to move. We have different ways to exercise our intelligence. We have the visual intelligence, we have the sound intelligence, we have the movement intelligence. All those things need to be exercised for us to have a more balanced life. And when a kid is very kinesthetic, that means that it needs movement to feel good, and you sit it for hours to listen and to write, you're going to have a fidgety child. You're going to have a child that cannot follow directions, cannot concentrate, has attention problems. And finally, they're going to label him and give him some medication. And what you're doing is you're just ruining their life. Because that affects them for life. Because there is a stigma that you have to deal with. I'm taking medication. I'm weird. I'm different. So, but the problem here is that the educational system is not aligned to satisfy human needs. It's just aligned following some rules that professors at the beginning of the 20th century decided this is the way we're going to educate our kids. So we need to update education. But meanwhile, we need to deal with our kids. So bring movement into their life, let them choose different ways to move, and welcome it. It's okay if they move. They are alive.
Wonderful, wonderful. We've got one more tip, and I just want to – there are a lot of questions coming in, and some of you are asking questions about the course itself. Hold on. We're going to be getting to all the questions in just a few minutes, because we have one more tip, and then Louise also has an exercise. So as soon as we go through that, I'll be answering any of the practical questions you're asking about the course, but also questions about kids and parenting, that as many of those as we can go through. So what's the last tip? What's tip number 7, Louise?
Well, stop rescuing. Stop the rescuing game. For those of you that know what I'm talking about, this is a very toxic component that affects our relationship in general and mostly with our children. For those of you that don't know what rescuing is, you can listen to the past conferences. And today we're going to have a small exercise about rescuing. But basically, rescuing is to do something that prevents the other person to go through the experience, whatever it is. Basically, when I rescue someone, I am implying that that person is weaker, dumber, poorer, in a way is less than, therefore they cannot deal with the experience of hearing my truth, therefore I hold information from them. I don't tell them how I feel, I don't tell them what I think, because they might get angry, they might get upset, I might hurt their feelings. So I prevent them to go through the experience to hear my truth. Sometimes I do things for them that they can do for themselves. We do this a lot with our kids. It's important that we update our relationship with our kids. It's okay to feed a baby, but it's not okay to feed a five-year-old, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to help them get up from the ground when they are toddlers, but not when they are 10 years old. I mean, there are many things that we had to stop doing and let them do it for themselves and make mistakes and go through the experience of making 1, 2, 3 times whatever mistakes they can do, because we grow when we make mistakes.
And I think that's going to be even a bigger topic when we talk next month about teens and adult children.
Because
parents don't necessarily know when to let go. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mm. So I know you have actually the exercise. Well, I'm just going to repeat all the tips just quickly so everybody can write them down in case they weren't writing it. Number one was to just spend time every day being with your children. Number two is validating their feelings. Number three is practicing honesty and respect. So really put that at the forefront of everything. Number four was physical contact, just touch, the act of touch, caressing, holding. That was four. Number five was get rid of the television. and there are lots of good reasons for that. Number six was get movement into your child's life. Find ways to do just physical activity. Put more movement just for the fun of it and the sake of it and the feeling of it, because it gets the emotions flowing through the body. And then the last one is stop trying to rescue your kids. And now Louisa's going to show us a rescuing exercise so we can so we can kind of become aware of where we're rescuing and where we're not, and, you know, because we may not be aware of that. So why don't you take us into that exercise, and then we'll get to the questions from the audience.
Yeah, and let me go back a little bit. When you said bring movement into your child's life, I realized, hey, bring movement into your life.
Your life, yes.
You know, move that body. Do stuff that you enjoy doing. You're going to feel much better in all levels. You know, start dancing, whatever, exercising. Move that body. Well, our bodies have been designed to move. Yeah. So for those of you that are listening, get pen and paper, and I'm gonna give you an exercise for you to start today, but keep applying later as a homework. And well, remember in the past conferences we were covering different rescue scenarios. So today we're gonna cover one that I'm gonna give it to you, and then you're gonna apply it in the relationship with your kids. But first, you have to do it yourself. And is pay attention to any situation in which one person of the relationship does something that he or she doesn't want to do in relationship with the other. So, any situation where you do something that you don't want to do for the other person, and pay attention to three different possibilities. The first one, when you are doing it, so you are the one doing something that you don't want to do, but you do it anyway. The second possibility is when the other person does it for you. Let's say you ask, I want you to do this for me, or why don't you do that? And the person go and does it, but you know that he or she doesn't want to do it because of their gestures, their posture, their tone of voice. They say, Oh, yes, I will do it. But you know they don't want to do it. And the last option is when you expect that someone will rescue you, so that you ask for something that you want and you expect that the other person will do it even against their will and not say anything. You know, the famous saying, yes when I want to say no, yeah?
So here are the questions I'm kind of getting is, when the scenario is someone doing things for another person against their will or
yes,
when they don't want to. So the questions we're asking is, when do I do things for other people when I don't want to? Or when I really don't feel like it, and when do other people do things for me when they obviously don't want to?
Yes.
Or is it that they don't want to, or I don't want them to?
No, they don't want to do it, and they do it anyway.
They don't want to do it anyway. So when do other people do things for me?
Yes.
And then it's also where in my life do I expect other people to do things for me? Are those the three questions?
Even in spite that they don't like it or they don't want.
In spite of the fact that they don't like it. Okay, so how do these apply with parents and children? Can you give a scenario, a couple of scenarios?
Well, yeah. you know, when we expect our kids to do things that they don't want to do, and we expect it to do them anyway, why? Because I am your father, because you are my son, and this is the way things should be, or they had to be done. That is a situation that creates a lot of power struggle in our families, in our relationship with kids. So,
can you explain how that?
We come with the assumption that we know better for them, that things should be this way, they shouldn't be this other way, and that goes against a very fundamental human value that is, first, respect, autonomy, freedom. Sometimes we force our kids to do things that they hate doing. And, you know, we may get away with it for a while, but sooner or later we're going to pay very expensive price because they are going to come back with the invoice. They're going to pass you the bill. And you know in what ways they do that? Well, dating someone that you don't like, moving far away from you, no bringing the kids to visit you when you are a grandparent. You're going to pay all that forcing, all that imposing, builds resentment. And resentment creates separation and disconnection. So I see many times grandparents that they are in deep pain and grief because sometimes, you know, the son never comes to visit them, or they don't bring their children, the grandchildren. And they wonder why, you know, I was a good father, I was a good mother, why this is happening? Well, probably this kind of thing was going on. And the mother thought, I have all the right to do this because I am his mother. Yeah? And those are things we learn, you know, it's very old collective programming that program us to believe that kids are objects of us.
Well, here's a good question, and here's an example coming from the audience. This is Dave in Union City, and he's saying that he often demands that his daughter eats healthy food, even when she doesn't want to. He says he feels funny about demanding it, but it also, you know, and that doesn't feel right, but of course she needs to eat well. So what's the, so there's, how do we know whether we're being supportive or we're playing the rescuer? You know, the person who's saying, I know best and I'm rescuing you, and which kind of ends up in this martyr situation. How do we know when we're doing it right when we're not?
I've been since my early 20s, I've been through so many diets and different philosophies. And I remember raising my older daughter, that now she's 26, and we were practicing a very strict macrobiotic diet. And we wanted our kid to be, you know, the superwoman, the most healthy woman on the planet, probably. So she was a toddler. She was 2 years old, and we were feeding her all this very strict diet until one day we learned that she was eating the cat food from my mother's cat.
Oh my goodness.
and she was having all these skin reactions, of course. Her diet was so pristine clean. Well, that was a red flag for me. And the second red flag came when she got started invited to go to birthday parties. You know, and there it was. Oh my God, she's gonna go to a birthday party. She's gonna eat sugar. She's gonna eat dairy products, so I realized, wow, this child is gonna be probably healthy physically, but she's gonna be tormented emotionally. And that was a moment of awareness when I realized, you know, I cannot do this to her. You know, she needs to have her relationships, her friendships, and enjoy and have fun. And who am I to decide what is going to make her healthier or not? So we went into a more moderate diet. And I stopped all the preaching. I stopped all the should or shouldn'ts. And I don't regret doing that because I've seen so many parents going through this. You know, your child has a healthy diet until they can eat whatever they want. And behind your back or in whatever way, they're going to develop actually the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So my
mm-hmm.
suggestion is, yes, have healthy food in the house, cook healthy meals, whatever is healthy for you. Offer to her with love and affection, with respect. If she wants to eat it, it's fine. If she doesn't want to eat it, it's fine too. When she's very hungry, she's going to eat it. There is nothing else in the house. There is nothing else in the refrigerator. And when you go out and she wants to eat something out there, it's okay. You can buy it for her. Don't create that need to eat the opposite of what she's eating. You just tell her, this is the way we eat here in this family. You know, when you go out, you can eat whatever you want. And make your own experience. See what happens. But without guilt trips, without shame on you, just supporting her in growing in her own understanding. And when she eats a lot of sugar, she's going to feel the difference. And when she eats a lot of meat, she's going to feel the difference. Mm-hmm. And let her decide for herself.
The thing on along the same lines of the rescuing, about doing things for people that they don't, you know, when we do things for people, we're rescuing them. So it's the same thing with our kids. I've found, and I've heard this from other parents, that if you're, you know, I'm speaking specifically to Dave and we're talking about food, you know, if you're continually making the food for your children, then it's not just the food, and it's a matter of choice. What I've heard from parents often is that if you show children how to make their own food, like you show them how to make a healthy meal, how to cook it, how to prepare it, how to put it together, they'll often go for the healthier things because they're choosing and empowering and creating something of their own,
yeah,
rather than you giving it to them.
And
so that also gets away from the rescuing. It's taking away the doing things for them all of the time.
A big rescuing thing is, you know, fixing their room.
Mm-hmm,
in their
mm-hmm.
room, getting angry at them because they don't do that, and when they go to school, we do that, and then we resent it. We let them know that we did that. Of course, they're not going to do that again, and it's an endless vicious circle, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Of tension.
So do ask yourself these questions, guys. When are you doing things for your kids that, you know, they don't necessarily want you to do? You may think they do, but they may not, and you're actually disempowering them. I'm looking at the time, and I want to get to some questions. And if somebody called me your assistant, and I just realized I didn't introduce myself. My name is Lynn Serafin, by the way, guys, and I do book promotions and coaching and things like that. And I work a lot with Louise on these webinars. So hello, I'm so sorry I didn't say my name. My name is Lynn. so you know my name. Can we get to a few of these questions so that some people can get some? Yeah. As far as people, somebody said they had a problem with the PayPal in ordering the class. Please just contact Louise directly at info@cellularmemory.org if you have some issues with PayPal giving you grief. And certainly Luis will organize that 30-minute consultation if you're amongst the first 10 people to respond tonight. So go ahead and write to info@cellularmemory.org. The rest of you, if you just go to the main page there, then you can register for the course directly. Okay, some of the questions we have, there's so many of them here. Let's see, Andrew in Calgary is saying that he has a great loving relationship with their 3-year-old daughter. They also have a an 8-month-old son that may or may not come into play, into the question, because sometimes sibling things are issues. And he says he wants to communicate better with her so that she, okay, so she's 3 years old and she's having a hard time sharing her feelings and asking for the things she wants, except for chocolate. So she hides, she's very shy, she hides her face. And he doesn't know if that's learned behavior or they caused it or a natural trait. And I don't know what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends. You know, you had to start checking different levels of intervention here. How good are you and your wife expressing your feelings? How have you been reacting when she was expressing her feelings when she was very young or younger?
Mm-hmm.
Experiences during the pregnancy with your wife, maybe your wife had to go through experiences where she had to suppress her feelings, and the child learns that. So why she does it at this point is irrelevant. The point is that it's happening and is raising a red flag for you, and you are concerned about that. I would say practice the things that the tips that we are giving you today, the touching, the holding her, spending time with her in silence. Stop the preaching, the lecturing, if there is anything going on. Let her know that you love her in the way she is, expressing or not expressing, and see what happens. See what happens, because sometimes those very simple interventions make a big change.
Good advice. And, you know, it is shyness can, you know, be a lot of from fear, I would think. And as you're saying, the more contact, the more touching, all of these things would seem to me, just on a practical level or a logical level, would make the child feel like she has a safer space to say things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a question from Angela in Germany, and Angela's she's a single woman. She has a 3-year-old son. And she shares she told a long story, so I'm going to summarize it here. She shares the time equally with the boy's father, half and half with the father, so he sees both parents. However, the two parents have radically different value systems. She's very into spirituality, he's not. And so there's a lot of friction between them and how they, you know, what they want the son to be exposed to, things like that. And she doesn't want to get into a thing where the son is caught in between their differences. However, it seems to be happening anyway. She says he's 3 years old, he's highly perceptive, and he says, "You should get angry at Papa," he says. And she says, "No, that I don't want to do that. That'll push him further away." Well, there's obviously, the drama's already going on there. So what advice do you have for Angela in that scenario?
Yeah, well, it seems like the child is already getting angry at the father for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the child knows that you're angry and you are not expressing it. So maybe it's not about being angry, but maybe it's about setting very strong boundaries, creating, you know, a communication that is very honest and authentic, that the child sees that you are able to hold your ground. Maybe you need other kind of support, maybe legal support, or who knows, that he would see that you are stronger and that you are able to protect yourself or make yourself heard. But honesty, I mean, you cannot play with your child acting like nothing is happening here or I'm fine when you are not, because the child knows you are lying. And you are teaching him that that's what you do with your emotions. You can suppress them and you can pretend that everything is fine. So you can say, you know, I'm actually very angry at your dad, but I'm afraid that if I get angry, he's going to slap me or he's going to react. So that's the reason why I am not being angry at him. So your child is going to understand, yeah? It's more realistic, it's more honest. Is that what you choose to do?
I really found honesty
very, very much and creates a lot of trust in them when we are honest. Even telling them, you know, I don't know, I'm confused. Yeah, it's fine. We can say that. We are showing them that human beings sometimes are confused and they don't know.
I really like what you said, Luis, that it sounds like your child is doing a good job of being angry for you. So it's like we are not really aware, but we're letting our children be our rescuers or our mouthpieces. That's a big eye opener, I think, what you just said. And I think that a lot of people, especially speaking for myself, I was in an abusive marriage when my daughter was young, and I'm sure that I set her up to be the rescuer quite a lot, at least emotionally. Maybe not actually, you know, physically, but emotionally, the expectation was that she was there. And we have to be really aware of how much we're wanting, not just rescuing our kids, but wanting our kids to rescue us from our own emotions that we can't deal with. And, you know, and that underscores again what you were saying before about the real work is, you know, what we do with ourselves. You know, how we do with our own emotions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, we have time for just a couple more questions. Maybe only, let's see. Boy, there's so many of them. Well, a couple of people are asking about what to do with children who either express rage or cry a lot, you know, like just get into long spells of crying or and can't be broken out of it, or rages or real rages where they hit or scream, extreme end of emotions. What do we do there?
Well, if you were in the conference at the beginning, we covered this. There are some things that you can do in the moment when the child is angry, but there is more work that you need to do when he's not angry. You know, the conversations about putting a name to that rage, talking about the rage, what happens in your body, what it feels like, what rage would like to do. If you let your rage do whatever you want to do, what it would do, and be open to receive any answer, like, you know, it wants to kill, it wants to set the house on fire. All right, I mean, there are, here what you are doing is validating and making a space for that so that the child is able to digest and integrate the experience in different levels. So that's what I would do, and I would be present to see what is the family dynamics, what's going on. I mean, that child is showing that his needs are not being met. What values are not being met for him? What's going on between the parents? What's going on in the family? How old is the child? The youngest the child is more resonating, is more vulnerable to the negativity in the family, the stress, the fear, the sadness, the marital problems. Some parents work a lot and they are very stressed out, and they come back home, they hardly have any time for themselves. All that creates a lot of frustration in the kids, the disconnection with the people they love. Remember, for children, the most important thing is love and connection. So especially for those parents, spend those 10 minutes a day, you know, no more than that. 10 minutes a day of connection, and then some touching, you know, where you hold them. Find excuses like massage, playing, you know, massage games. Okay, I'm going to massage your feet, then you massage my feet. I'm going to massage your neck, then you massage my neck. And that is very, very healing. So you can see many changes, and that rage may decrease big time.
Great. We could go on. There's so many questions, but with your permission, since we got a little, we started a little late because of technical problems, I'm going to go over by just a couple of minutes. I want to answer this one last question, and then also remind people that the CMR Fundamentals is going to be starting a week from Thursday on the 21st. So please do join Luis. There are people joining, and he is offering free consultation to the first 10 who join, who register after tonight's webcast, and also a manual to people who register this evening, to the first 20 who register this evening. And we'll be sending you a summary of what that course is about in the email either tomorrow or the next day. The last question I want to get with, and this is a really big one because I think a lot of us relate to this as being children, and now that we're parents or grandparents, this it's really relevant. It's the question about bullying. How do you support children who are being bullied? I mean, we could go into a whole thing about children who do bullying, but children who come home and they've been bullied and they're obviously traumatized by this, how do you support them without rescuing them? And, you know, how do you give them enough? What do you tell them? What do you do?
Yeah. Well, it depends how old they are. If they are older enough, you will ask them, what do you want me to do here? I'd like to go and speak with your teacher or the principal and see how we can fix this. You can say, you know, I don't see a way out here. This is what people do in this school. I'd like to change you to another school. What do you think of that? So make a plan together, where whatever you decide is a strategy together, and tell them how you feel, that you feel scared, that you worry, that make you sad, that you're angry and frustrated with the whole situation. So it depends how old they are. If they are too young,
mm-hmm.
Just take them out of the school, you know, change them to another school.
I like what you said about create the solution together. I think that's really important because I was bullied. I think a lot of us have experienced bullying. I was bullied when I was around maybe 10, 11. And then my mother just said, ignore them. They're jealous. That didn't help me. It didn't give me any tools. It didn't help me at all, and but at the same time, my daughter was kind of bullied a little later, and she said to me, no, don't tell the principal, don't do that. You know, and as you say, they if they're older, you know, we could be rescuing them. So it is really, I love what you said about working on the solution together. I think that's very empowering. Very empowering. There are still so many questions here, and I'm hoping that Luis will turn a lot of these questions into blog posts in the future. And some of them are similar to each other, so hopefully if you didn't catch the whole broadcast, if you listen back, some of them may address some of the questions that were asked if we didn't ask you specifically. And if you have any questions about it before you register, do write to Luis at info@cellularmemory.org. And remember that we're going to be doing another webinar, and that's going to be on dealing with adult children and teens and adult children. So we'll be looking at a whole range of different issues. And again, it's going to be talking about healing that root of the tree, but answering specific issues around that. Do send in your questions for that. We will be giving you the link to the sign-up page for that maybe in another week to 10 days. We'll be sending that out to you. So, Luis, anything else you want to add before we end for the evening?
No, I really want to appreciate those of you that showed up, because it's many, many people, more than we thought. So that is actually giving me a lot of hope that there is more and more and more people like us recognizing that we can do things differently. We don't have to keep repeating those old templates that created so much pain and separation and disconnection from our parents. So we can actually create something fresh and new where both we get healed and our kids grow up in a healthy emotional life.
Mm.
So thank you very much. I really, really appreciate you being here.
Mm. Wonderful thought to end with. You can change the patterns of the past. You don't have to pass on the, you know, the heredity you may have received from who knows how many generations of unhappy parents, and you know, you can become empowered and loving and supportive and connected parents. And I think this was a wonderful broadcast, Luis. Thank you so much for putting this one on. And I've seen Luis with his kids, by the way, and they adore him. And you know, if you want to know if you're a good parent, just look at good parent. I don't like that word, good parent. But if you want to know that you're doing it right, look to see how much do your kids love you and how much do they like to be with you. And that's, Luis,
yeah,
it's more than love.
It's the same thing. It's just because we can love our parents, but we don't want to be with them.
Be with them.
But it's the trust. It's that trust that happens in the relationship when there is respect. And, you know, they want to hang out with you. They want to include you in their life.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm trying to say, Luis, is having seen you with your kids, I believe that you've succeeded in that. And especially that you did this for an awful lot of their lives as a single parent. I think that's quite a testament to your insight into parenting. And I'm so pleased that you shared all of that all of those insights with everyone tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, so everyone, thank you very much for listening. Again, this is Lynn Serafin, and I will see you next month with Luis on the May 10th conference, and hopefully see those of you who join us for CMR Fundamentals of Relationships on April 21st. Again, that's a 9-week course, and going to be really brilliant. It's going to be very, very brilliant. See you real soon. Take care, everybody.